that I need one kid to come up as a volunteer, and I'm not going to embarrass you.
Patrick,
no, he's shaking his head. No, man. Manuel, do you want to come up? Okay. Just for a moment. Only one. Only one. Whoever gets here first. This guy won. Good slide. So this guy is right in the eye. I can only do one. All right. Okay, Blake, listen. I've got a dollar here. Okay? I'm going to give you this dollar, and you can have it. It's yours. You want it? Okay. That's good, because I would have to take you to the doctor if you said you didn't want it. Anyway, here's your dollar. All right? Now, here's what I want you to remember about that dollar. Is that you can spend it any way you want to. You can save it and put it with other money and buy something special. You could maybe give it to a friend to be kind. You could buy some candy with it. You can give it to God in his house. You can do whatever you want with it. But whenever you spend it, it's gone. You never get to spend it again, right? So use it smart. Be smart and use it the best way. Okay? All right, go ahead. Sit down. Thank you. That was a good slide. Good job. I'm surprised some adults didn't come running up here because I said whoever gets up here first. No. But Dr. David Jeremiah is quoted as saying, a day is like a dollar. It can be spent wisely or foolishly and never be spent again. Now, oftentimes we take days for granted, don't we? And our days are gifts to us. And we just don't know if we have the rest of the day or if we have tomorrow. We just have no clue. But God does. There is a coach by the name of Paul Bear Bryant of the University of Alabama, who's known as Bear. When he died, his family was going through his possessions, and they found in his wallet something that was crumbled up, that was used over and over. You can tell the folds had been opened and closed quite often. And so they read what this piece of paper said that he carried around in his wallet for years. And let me read that to you. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is very important because I am exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place that I have traded for it. I want it to be a gain, not a loss. Good, not evil. Success, not failure. In order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it. Do we look at our days of life that valuably? Do we look at each day and we say, you know what, we have a day here that's ours, that we're going to be going to bed very shortly by the end. You know how fast our days go, right? And we want to be able to look at it and go, did I spend that day wisely? And why is that so important? And again, because our days are limited. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Psalm 118:24 tells us to rejoice in each day he gives us. In fact, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it easy to rejoice and be glad in the day that the Lord has given you every day? Is it easy to have every day where you're rejoicing and glad? No. What about people that have lost a loved one that day? What about tragedy in your life? What about days you wake up, you just don't feel good, you don't feel happy, you have it going, so to speak? How do we follow this command? Because it's a command. It's not a lofty goal. It's not something that is just lightly spoken. It's not just a wishful desire of God. It's a command of God, which is something that is difficult for us to understand because we're talking about our emotions here, that you can't just force emotions. But we can learn what God means by rejoicing in each day he gives us. And we can learn how to have that. And I will tell you this, it truly is a focus. It is a mindset. It is a decision that we make of our own before God every day. And so, how can we live each day that God gives us, rejoicing in them, when circumstances of life are often challenging and stressful? We meet a lot of challenges, don't we? And we have a lot of stressful situations, don't we? And yet God wants us to be happy in the middle of it, and it's contradictive to our emotions. It's contradictive to the circumstance. It's contradictive to the heartache. And yet God teaches us how we can have that rejoicing each day. And I'll tell you from personal experience, it takes just a mindset that says, I am going to focus as God wants me to focus. First of all, consider the blessing that God has given us a day of life to live for His purpose. Now, I will tell you firsthand that when your life is threatened, when you don't know if you have tomorrow, when you don't know if you're going to live through a situation, if you have cancer, and you start looking at life and you go, wow, my life is being threatened by cancer. It becomes much more paramount. It becomes much more focused upon. I wonder how many days that I have. When you face death through the possibility of heart attacks, and you know that the situation's not good, and you don't know if you have the rest of that day or the next day. We could probably put in quite a bit of scenarios in there that tells us all of a sudden our life shifts in paradigm from taking our days for granted to taking our days seriously. Now, how many of you would prefer to take your days seriously before God without the incident of threat to your life? Yeah. But sometimes God uses the threats in our lives not only to build our faith, not only to see His power, His grace, and His love in our lives, but He allows those things to help us to realize life is not guaranteed. Each day is a gift. So, we need to focus on Him when facing challenges and stressful circumstances in our daily lives. We need to praise God. We need to seek God and His purposes. We need to ask Him for joy. We need to start our day off acknowledging Him in prayer. We need to be involved in our Bible reading. Do you read your Bible? We need to seek good advice from other mature Christians. Now, that's something valuable. God puts a mature Christian in your life that you can go to and say, hey, I'm having an issue here, and I need your advice, or I need your prayer, or I need your accountability, or something. And you can go to him. We need to focus on him when facing challenges and stressful circumstances in our daily lives. If we're going to value each day that God gives us, and again, if you had a car accident and someone died in your family, would you not be thinking about the value of life? You know, my family, all of my immediate family have died. And I can tell you this, that when my mother passed away, it was probably the most devastating of all of them for me. And it made me think about the value of life, but it also did something else. I got somewhat paranoid for my family, for my wife and children. Off to school they go, off to work she goes, scared, all of a sudden they're going to be gone. There was that sense of, I got to hold on to what's precious to me because I'm scared that something might happen because I've already lost people that are precious to me. Now I know that's kind of a morbid and down way of thinking here this morning in church. But the point is that it helps us to remember that when people are gone, they're gone. So each day is of great value. That's why we tell our family, I made it a point. My dad was a military policeman in the Army. Tough. But I made a point later on in years to make sure I said, Dad, when I'm on the phone with him, Dad, I love you. Okay, son. You know, started out. But it didn't take long where he said, I love you too, son. it's important that we communicate those things because we don't know how long we have them. But this shift on your life, how many days left do you have? And so we're to consider the blessing that God has given us, a day of life to live for His purpose. We're to focus on Him when facing challenges and stressful circumstances in our daily lives. Now, as you look at this, I've changed the format in your outline. I'm not filling in all the blanks here. And so you could probably fill them in too. But this try something. I wasn't sure this morning if I wanted to use this or not. But when we consider the blessings that God has given us, how do we fine-tune that focus on the blessing that God has given us? Praise Him for the day that we live in. Verbally praise God. Then ask Him what your purpose is for that day. And then ask Him to give you joy. That'll help you focus, because what we're doing is we're looking to God. We're praising Him and we're seeking His purpose and we want to walk in His joy. Doesn't that shift our focus from our circumstance of the day to Him? So that'll help us to appreciate the day. Focusing on Him. Again, we incorporate prayer. If we're going to focus on God, we've got to be willing to turn our eyes to Him, turn our heart to Him, turn our ears to Him, have a desire to seek Him, have a desire to put Him in front of us. So pray to start your day out. Read your Bible each day. If I was to ask a show of hands, how many of you read your Bible every day, I bet you not everybody in this room would raise their hand. And yet that's one of the most important aspects to your spiritual walk. Got to be in the Word. Got to be with God. Got to set aside that time with Him, because that's when God speaks a lot of times to us, when we're alone with Him. We're to seek godly advice. Again, I mentioned that, didn't I? When we need it. Those things will help us to focus on God. The third thing that I want us to look at that will help us to live each day with a rejoicing heart, no matter what the circumstances or stresses are, is to remember God tells us that each day His grace is sufficient for us. How many of you are familiar with that verse? I am, of course. What's it mean that God's grace is sufficient for us each day? That means that God knows what the day holds. That means that God knows what agitating things are going to happen. He knows what overbearing things are going to happen. He knows the circumstances and the challenges that you and I are going to face each day. And because He already knows that, He's already supplied the grace that we need to go through those challenges. But how do we grab hold of that grace that God has given us? We have to look to Him. We have to focus on Him. We have to lay our heart down before Him. We have to say, God, I need your help today because this is bigger than me. God, I need you to counsel me. God, I need you, frankly, to put your arms around me and hold me close because I need some love today. Something. But shift our heart and our focus to God so that we can grab hold of the grace that He gives us, that as He reveals Himself to us and His counsel to us, do you know that as we seek God, God will give us counsel? You say, God, I need your help right here. And He may not answer instantaneously, but He will give you the direction you need if you're patient on Him. Day by day, we might say, God, the other day I was putting in these stupid visors in our car. I mean, you spend a fortune on your car, and they put the visors together on the inside with plastic clamps that have these teeth that interlock, and I have no clue how in the world the arm came out of the bracket that holds up on the windshield. For the last year on the passenger side, I've been riding on the passenger side with no visor. Then the driver's side visor breaks down. And it's hanging by the material. I go, God, you know, I don't even know how to fix this thing. It was hot. We're going to leave. We're going to go on a trip. I said to Kathy, I'm going to get this fixed for you so that, because it's dangerous, because you can't get visor in place for the sun, and for her, that's really, really important. And I'm in there, and I tore the top of it open, and I looked inside and said, well, for crying out loud, what a mess. And I stuck the bar in it, and I said, how am I going to get that to hold? But before I could get the bar all the way into the visor, it wasn't going in. I'm hot, I'm sweaty, time's running out. I said, God, please, help me. I was so frustrated, but I meant that with my heart. Now I'm just dealing with a visor in the car. God, please help me. I'm so frustrated. We got to go. There's not much time. This is important. I don't want to die in an accident. So I got it, and I, boom, popped it on. I go, now how am I going to hold this thing in place? Got some of those super big, flat, square, spring-loaded paper clips and put two on each visor. Clamp that thing together, they work fine. And as far as I'm concerned, they just look like clips for notes. I don't care. Got my visor on. Now that may seem stupid or insignificant to you, but as I'm going through the day, that was one of those things that was challenging, right? It was agitating. And instead of looking at me and my situation, I looked to who? God. God cares about the little things and the big things. And we have to be willing to focus on Him and know that He gives us grace. So ask for grace, and He will give it. And know His promises by being in His Word. Think about them. You have not because you ask not. Right? You can look to God, and you can start applying whatever scriptures you've learned and trust God. You know, if you're not doing this in your prayer life, how many of you have a prayer life? I wonder how many will raise your hand. Do you have a prayer life? But when you pray to God, incorporate the scripture that you know. God, you said in your word that if I ask, I will receive. Now we have to ask with the right heart that's pleasing to God. Lord, you promised in your word that you would direct my path. I'm looking to you to do it. We grab hold of the word because it's authority and it's power and it's truth and it's solid and we can hold on to it. That's a way that we can hold on to grace. We call out to Him. We trust Him to help. We use His scripture to reinforce what we're saying to Him. And then we move forward. That'll help us through the day. Because we need that. His grace is sufficient for each day. He's already supplied what we need. He already knows what we're going to go through. He already says, I've got it right here for you. All you have to do is make a conscious effort to focus on God, call out to Him and trust Him, and seek Him to give the grace that we need for each day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take each day and live it for Jesus. That sounds propaganda-like from the pastor. That sounds religious. But I will tell you very clearly, that is a statement of life in Christ. Live for Jesus. I want to look at three other things that we can consider that will help us rejoice in the value of each day. In the value of each day. Now I will tell you that every day I wake up, most every day, 9 times out of 10, when I start my day out in prayer, I say, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for another day. Statistically, with what my heart has gone through, I'm lucky to have lived through 1 year. Statistically, only 10% live five years longer than that first year. And so I think about the fact that my life could be taken away quickly, just like anybody's, but I've got some extra issues. And so when I wake up, I say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. I get to be with my family. And by the way, Lord, this problem that's facing me that feels like one of the guys at the state prison referred to burdens. You know, we think about burdens carrying a load, or we think about our own sinful nature sometimes. He says, oh, get that cadaver off my back. You know? And sometimes we just feel the weight of the circumstance just crushing us. We can say, God, thank you for this day, but I've got this huge problem in front of me that's crushing my spirit, that's dragging me down, that's robbing me of hope, and you don't want me to have that. Your word says that you gave each day. You want me to rejoice in each day. You want me to rely on the grace that you've given me each day. You want me to be in the middle of your purpose each day. So take care of this. In fact, you even said that if the mountain's in front of us, you told me that Zacharias said that the mountain will be made a plain. It'll be made flat. That no matter how big the mountain is in front of us, and if we can't get around it, can't get over it, can't get through it, God can take care of it. And what we're to do each day is rely on God. So what are three things that we can do to gain value in each day? First, measuring our days will cause us to rejoice that we have them. You understand what that means, measuring our days? I just told you statistically, I have 5 years based upon what statistics say for me to be alive. And making it through the first year was the most critical. But I said, God, thank you. He's given me another day. And I say, thank you that you've allowed me to walk. Because what I've gone through with my back. And I'm not pointing to myself intentionally. I'm saying that as we face those things, when we are threatened of things that we take for granted, they become much more valuable to us. But the challenge for you this morning is don't allow those things, or I should say it another way, prayerfully you won't have to go through those things to help you value life more, but that you simply will value it based upon the fact that our lives really are limited. In Psalm 90, verse 10 and 14, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. God tells us in his word that, generally speaking, that 80 years is about what you're going to live. We know there are exceptions. In my wife's family, it's not uncommon for them to live over 100 years old. But that's an exception to the rule. But the point is that we have to think about our life being short, constrained. And if it's short, and if it's rich, and if it's valuable to you, then take advantage of every day that God gives you for him. Because when the day is spent, it's gone, like that dollar bill. And you might look back on the day behind you and go, boy, I wish I would have done things differently. And boy, all of us, I believe, can say that. Verse 14 says, oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I know my days are limited. You know your days are limited. It doesn't mean too short, doesn't mean too long. It means prescribed by God. And in that, we're to seek God's mercy, that unmerited favor, that God will intervene in our life to help us to rejoice and be glad. You see, as we make the conscious effort to call on God, rely on God, depend upon God to take care of us and to hold us close to him and to know that he's in control, not just intellectually, but with the comfort of our own spirit, having been comforted by God, that we can rejoice and be thankful for the day that he has given us. So the first was measuring our days will cause us to rejoice that we have them. The second is treasure our days because they are limited. Almost a restatement, but I want us to look at Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my substance. My daughter is carrying our third grandchild. And the substance of that grandchild is being formed in her womb. It's an exciting thing. But this scripture says that God's eyes are watching exactly what's going on. Not as if it's doing it by itself, but God's hands are putting that baby together. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. We have our identity before we're even created in the womb. We are not a fetus in that respect, a non-human. We are human. God knows us by name, by person. And so it says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And that word days in the Hebrew is yom, and it's a 24-hour period. In fact, in the King James, it talks about the fact that those days are written in that translation, the continuance. Our days, as they are set to continue, are set before us. A distance or span of time has been made and determined for our lives. Therefore, we should treasure this limited time. Do you know what a span is? How a span, literally, a physical measurement of a span? Right here. The span of your hand. We get the term, the span of time. But its measurement is constricted like this, the span of your hand. Does that give you an idea that our life is limited by the span of a lifetime? It's only short. A distance or span of time has been made and determined for our lives, therefore we should treasure this limited time. And thirdly, the third thing we can do to help us to value each day that God has given us is this. As many of you have already experienced, remember time flies. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
When you were in elementary school, it felt like the year went very slow. When summer came, you go, oh, it's slow, it's long, and all this summertime. And school would come. What happened after a while? The school year would go like that, and summer was like, poof. Before you knew it, Christmas was here, summer was here. Back and forth, and back and forth. This is not a Valley thing, okay? This is just an example. You know what I'm saying, Valley girl? No, that's not what I'm doing. It just clicks like that, okay? It's a span of time. It flies quickly. Our life, no matter how long or short, will go quickly. As Kathy and I have ministered to senior adults in their last days, some of them dying on their beds, some of them don't have the comfort of knowing that they lived their life in a way that was meaningful, purposeful, and that honored God. But if you and I, if we're fortunate enough to be alive at the moment of our last days, what I mean by that is we're not taken instantly, but that we know it's coming. That we should be able to look back over our lives and go, I have lived my life for God. My purpose in life has been fulfilled by God's standard. My life was not a span of time that was wasted and not used appropriately as God intended for me to live it. I have the assurance that my life has been pleasing to God and that it not only affected me and those around me in this span of life on earth, but it also has a great effect on eternity for me. Not for salvation, but for God's purpose for my life and your life as we live for God. James 4:13 through 14 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, right? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The next time this winter you're going to Fresno and you go over out of Klinga down in the valley and you see the fog you've got to drive in, you know, normally that fog burns off by 10 or 11 o'clock, typically. You see it there, it's gone. That's our life. That's what God is saying. It's a vapor that just appears and then it disappears. And we need to value the life that God has given us. Michael Altshuler, in his book PCR Troubleshooting, said, the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. We see the bumper sticker, you know, God's the pilot, I'm the co-pilot. But really, we make the choice. That's a statement that says, I've chosen to follow God. But the step to make the decision that follow God is in our hands. And we have to make that decision. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, or reminds us that we indeed are that pilot and need to be careful how we spend our time. How do we use the time that God has given us? I'm telling you, if you have a situation and you wake up and you go, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be alive because I was this close to death, you're going to value your time and you're going to value your days. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to grab hold of that time and treasure it far more than any precious item that we can find on earth. And say, God, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me this day. Help me to live this day for you because that's why you made me. Count each day of your life as a valuable gift of God. Live each day of your life wisely, focusing on the things God would have you to do as you face each situation. And discover the blessings God will give you and your family, as well as the wisdom you will gain because you are numbering your days. Do you understand that? When we value our days, yield our days to God, rely on God's grace, seek Him first, there's going to be a product that comes out of it. It's not just that we're going to be spending our time in a way that's pleasing to God. We're going to come out being wiser because we fear God, we follow God, we love God, we're listening to God, we're putting God first, and we're living our day as God intends for us to do. You know, I was told a long time ago as a pastor, don't count on body language. Praise team can be up here leading music, and some days congregations just, you know. Other days, look around, they're smiling and getting right into it, right? As a pastor, I can look out here and I can see where there's some glossed over eyes. Maybe you're thinking about what's being said. Maybe you're not. But I want to urge you to understand that this method, do not walk away from here today with a thinking of, oh, well, that was interesting, or, oh, that was no big deal, or, oh, so what type thing. Walk away today thanking God for the day that He has given you. That's a marvelous step. When you can say, God, with my heart, I want to thank you for today. God will honor that because we're honoring Him. Finally, let me close with this, Psalm 90, verse 16 and 17, and then we'll go back to verse 12. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We have to understand that when we are following God, thanking God for the day He's given us, yielding our life to Him, depending upon His grace, following Him, experiencing His power, that becomes a lifestyle that our children will be blessed by. You want to leave an inheritance to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? Let them remember you for your love for God and your commitment to Him. That's what God expects, and God will bless. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You want wisdom that comes from God? Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 1:7, I believe, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. God has given us life. God has given us days. Don't take it for granted. Don't hold it in your own hand. Give it to God, focus on God, live for God, and take your days seriously before God. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. And I want to thank you, dear Holy Spirit. I pray, you know, Father, you've called me as a pastor to feed the sheep. My prayer is that you've fed the sheep. But my additional prayer to that is that your sheep have heard from you. Your sheep have experienced you. Your sheep have so met with you this morning that when they walk away, they'll go, you know what? I felt the closeness of God and the love of God, and I experienced the wonder of God, just me and God, and it was awesome. And I pray more and more people will experience that as they come together to worship you in your house. Now, Father, help us the remainder of the day to keep our hearts focused on you and our love given to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.